You see that bulletin I put on there about shout to the Lord. Last week, you know, I had a message change last week on the things that God had spoken to me, and really had to do with the shouting to the Lord, dealt with two issues of things: a time to be quiet and a time to shout. And it's important to know lesson. Important to know what to do at the time. We live a life of faith, and lots of times the life of faith, it gets complicated for people because people generally, the average person wants to live by sight. They live by what they see. When people are under pressures, that's when they don't want to shout. Faith's exactly the opposite of that. And the life of faith is when you have a shout when things aren't going good. Faith doesn't go by what it sees. Faith is a substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so faith in God is about living like God's real, even though he can't see. Living like the things of the Spirit. The words that he said in this book are true, even like it looks like it ain't even going on. And so it's important we do that. I want to start off this morning. The Lord gave me, I had specific things I was going to do. It's one of those things, again, I had some good ideas. Anyhow, but last night the Lord spoke to me about going and saying some things, and he had some ideas about what he wanted said this morning. And because God has a great interest in blessing humanity, he has a greater interest than humanity has for being blessed. You know, God wants to bless people. He's not holding back. Man holds back from God and stops the blessing. You know, God's not in control. If he was, how did things get into such a mess? Then we would be God as the mess. But he's not. God's desire is great desires to bless people. And it's one of the things he just keeps emphasizing to me, because there's things that, principles and things that we know and things that we understand, but it's not necessarily what we're doing. See, your success in life isn't based on what you know. It's based on what you do with what you know. No matter what you know. If you ain't doing it, it has no influence on your life. You just walk around. And see, we live in a society today of, it is really important to be smart. People are full of information but live like a bunch of idiots. So, it don't matter how much information we got, it's what we do with information we have. One of the things I want to start off, which the Lord spoke to me right here about, things, he reminded me of, it isn't just a story, it's actually true, it happened. There was a woman on a missionary field. This goes back in the early 1900s. And as she came down, she lived in a mission compound in Africa. And in those days, you know, it wasn't like you could just go get help anytime you wanted or anything like that. You definitely had to go by faith in those places, because, you know, we know very little about that today. We're a comfort society, and those weren't comfortable things. And especially if you're thinking, I always thought in those years past, as those women went out as missionaries into those places, you know, I mean, my God, it's remarkable. But anyhow, she came down with some type of fever of some sort. But in that area of the world at that time, if you ended up with that fever, you ended up dead. That was only one way. There's only one way out. You're leaving. That was it. And she came down with this flu. Now, she believed that God healed. And so she was praying, and she said, you know, things had gotten worse and worse, and she became weaker and weaker and weaker. And then she said, she was talking to the Lord. She's bedridden. She can't do anything. And she said, all of a sudden, she had a vision. And in the vision, she saw a scale, and there was this big scale. And the scale on one side was really lots of stuff piled on it. It was completely down. The other one's up in the air. And then she heard this voice say to her, he said, the asking side is full. But he said, the praise and thanksgiving side doesn't have anything in it. And he said, till the praise and thanksgiving side equals the weight of the asking side, he said, you will not be healed. Say, woo, how'd you like to hear that one? Well, she saw it, you know. She's asking God, but she's never acting like God's working. She's not into praise and thanksgiving. She's not doing that. And I want to talk about, because that's one of the faults we have today. See, we have problems in our nation, and Christians keep praying about God fix it, God fix it, God fix it, God fix it, God fix it. And I'm going to tell you what, the side is weighted down. And the answers ain't coming till people start acting like God's God. Yes. You know, faith isn't begging God to do something. There's no faith in begging.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
And we're the begging. We're, America's a begging society. We know how to. We know how to be the squeaky wheel. You just keep squeaking to finally get what you want. We train our kids to do that sometimes, you know. Keep letting them squeak all the time and squeak all the time instead of putting a stop to it and say, hey, hold it. I learned that a long time ago. My one old youngest daughter, when she was young, she was a squeaky wheel. She could be a whiner. And she found out with me that never worked, because if you whine, then I pay no attention to you. I still do that today with people. If you're a whiner, I don't spend much time paying attention to you, because you don't move me by your whining. That doesn't move things. You know? Because you know what? Everybody gets sick of it. You know, people have compassion for a while, but when the squeak keeps going on, and there's never any thankfulness about what's done for an individual, there's never that comes. And see, we need to understand that with God. When it never comes, we never treat Him like He's God. And so, you'll see, I had some scriptures. One of them there was the 100th Psalm that I had, but when I started off in this, the Lord spoke to me last night something very interesting. He spoke to me about the Psalms. He said about the Psalms, and I was reading over the 100th Psalms, and He spoke to me and said something to me that was really interesting. Because most of the time God reveals things, and He'll take me to the Bible and show me things in the Bible about it, which is a good thing. You want to have a scriptural basis for it. But He said, He spoke these words, and I knew what He was talking about. He said, you got to look at the 50s. And I thought, well, it was back in the 50s Psalms, and I knew what He meant when He said it. The 50s, He said, look at the first Psalm, the 50th Psalm, the 100th Psalm, and the 150th Psalm. I knew what He meant when He said it. He said, you gotta look at the 50s. And so I went over. Well, the first Psalm, and I'm just gonna read this to you, because He had some things He went to say concerning, us as Christians, and we go to Him and we pray. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In His law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruits in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That's one of the things I want you to see. It starting off, it's a good from the standpoint. It's important as if we want to, if we're praying, we're asking God. Number one, we need to be in a position of ourselves that we're not walking in the way of the sinner. We're living a right life. We're following the Word of God. See, it's one thing we have to do. And it's one thing, as I saw in this, as the Lord started dealing with me. We were taught right in these things from the Word standpoint, people, Word people. But that was only one part of it. One part of it. You follow what the Word says. Learn how to ask God, because hey, God is interested in us, but we're not finding it. But you know what? You can't get your prayers answered on the basis you're a good person and you're doing right. Just because you're doing right. If that just answered prayers in itself, man. Well, the religious people would always be at the top of the list, you know, of Santa Claus for the, you know, they'd always get the best presents. Well, it don't work that way. But, so then the Lord said to me, then you go to the 50th Psalm, and the 50th Psalm is a much different Psalm from this standpoint. We gotta look at it, because the 50th Psalm brings man to the recognition who God is. We have lost, this is one of the things we've lost, and I will say this, the people who, so-called faith people, have lost this of who God is. We make everything all about our faith and us. And this, and we lose the thing of the fear of God, who God is, His power, His majesty, and God's view. Now I'm going to read you starting the 50th Psalm. In verse 1 it says, the mighty one, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth for the rising of the sun to its going down. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent, and fire shall devour before Him, and it shall be a very temptuous all around Him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, and he may judge His people. Gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with my sacrifice. Let the heavens declare His righteousness, for He Himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices, which you are continuing before me. And actually, if you read in original Hebrew, it doesn't say, I won't rebuke you. It's where it says, what God is saying is the fact it wasn't important to him about all their sacrifices. That's not number one on the list. See, God required man to sacrifice, but there was more to it than that. It's just like I said before with the word people, it's more to it, just getting in the word, quoting the word, and doing that kind of, there's more to it than this. And we need to see this, it's just like with a woman. The scales weren't balanced. There's a balance to things. And so the scales weren't balanced. Now listen what God says, and this is one thing that we can understand some things about the character of God. This is where people don't know God because they don't fellowship with God. They don't know his character. They don't know what he's really like. Mm-hmm. You know, today, God is love and everybody's going to be all right. Well, get over that one. You will. That'll happen to everybody. Everything's going to come to an end one day. And everybody will know. Well, he says here, he goes on about, he said, for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. He said, I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your fold. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. He said, if I were hungry, I'd not tell you. I just think it's God. God's talking to people. He's talking to covenant people. See, we have this thing. We need to know us today is in the same way. We deal with God as if like, we don't recognize who he is and what he is. He's not as turned on about a lot of these things. There's one thing as I learned many years ago, the Lord told me about, he said, I'm more interested in your attitude than anything. I'm more interested in your attitude. Well, he said, if I were hungry, he said, I wouldn't tell you. This is God. God's looking down, these people are doing all these sacrifices. God ain't doing this because he's hungry or he wants something. What God has to have from people is faith. And there's a big area that has become lacking in the body of Christ. A big area of lacking of faith. And he said, for the world is mine and all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? He said, offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. I'm going to stop there because he goes on to some other things, but this is where he wants, what is God calling for? See, these people are going through all the religious stuff and they're going through all their thing and they're following all their little principles. Mm-hmm. But they're not a thankful people. And they're not a people who keep their word. See, this is one thing that I found out this over the years. Christians don't keep their word. See, we talk about faith, but people say, well, I'll do this or I'll do that. Or, you want me to do it? I'll do this. And they come up. They don't do it. They come and tell people, you know, things. Why? Because that is an effect on your faith. God, it's a big deal. God throws this in their face. He said, you're not thankful and you don't keep your vows. You're going, hey, you're doing all the sacrifice stuff, all the stuff going on in the temple. It's all right. It's sort of like the church at Ephesus in the book of Revelation. They were a good church, but he said, you got this one big problem. He said, you lost your first love. Oh, they're doing all the right stuff in church. They have all the right stuff going. They got all the good. But they lost their first love. You know, they were probably no better off because Jesus said to them, he said, he would remove their candlestick. Mm-hmm. He didn't even say that down there at the church at Laodicea. But he said it to them. See, you got all people have all the trappings. See, we know what do we lose? We don't keep our vows, and God spoke to me about the church getting back over where we keep our word. Faith is based on your words, and if your words are no good, I heard this Kenneth Hagin. I remember when I first got born again and he has listened to tapes. He said if your words no good, he said your faith's no good. He said it won't work because he said you know you're a liar. He said if anybody knows you're a liar, you do. You say things you don't keep them. Don't, it wouldn't surprise you that you'd sit around and say, make a quota about faith in God, but you really don't believe it. But the biggie too is the thing of thanksgiving. See, we lost the thing. Really, it's dealing with the areas of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Those are not things just done in a church. They are the faith. This is about the faith life. I learned this as a young Christian about it from, and I learned it, Kenneth Hagin. I didn't even heard his son would talk about it. He said, when we would believe God for something as a family, he said, we used to put then what we believed him for on the refrigerator. And he said, the point of that was on the refrigerator was never to pray about that ever again. He said, every time you saw that, you went to the refrigerator, you started praising God that he does those things for you. Mm. Praising. See, we don't do that. We are all into the asking thing. We got 4 billion pounds sitting on that. We know about, hey, we've been taught about the asking side. We've been put that down here and it's down. And you know what? This is one of the problems. And we're going to want to read these other things, the Psalms, because of worshiping God and thanksgiving and praise to him. The area of thanksgiving. We need to know the problems in our nation. We need to start acting like our God's big. You can pray all you want, but is your God big enough you think he's going to do anything? Well, if you did, you might have a shout. If you thought he was going to do something, and you see, we've lost that. And then look, God's not saying these things to criticize. He wants to bless us. He's getting over. Well, see, God started dealing with me back for about a month ago on this. And so, you know, like this morning, I thought, well, I'll sleep in a little bit, and you know, because I don't have to start as early. But I woke up at 5:30, like I normally get up. So I thought, I woke up and I thought, you know, I'm not going to go back to sleep. I'm going to, because I said, you know, God's dealing with this thing. And I said, I'm just going to take time. And I'm going to take, I've got to have an hour. So I'm going to take this hour. See, it's coming to the place, you know, in Acts the 13th chapter, where Paul and him were separated in the ministry, it says about these certain ministers, they were together, they were ministering to the Lord and fasting. They weren't asking for a thing. See, we know little about this area. Our coming to God lots of time is mostly about something we want, what we need, something that has to be done, something. They were ministering to the Lord. And really that's what praise, worship, and thanksgiving is about, ministering to God. It's not about ministering to us. It's ministering to God. The recognition that he can do for us, you know, we say, oh, God can do anything. I want to be introduced to the person that actually believes that. Please introduce me to him right away. Those are nice religious words, but I'm going to just tell you this. Without a powerful praise and worship life, you won't ever come to faith. You won't get that just reading books, reading the Bible. Right. Oh, it's going to do good to read it. Oh, it'd be good to read the Bible, sure. But till he becomes real to you, till your worship becomes a thing where God is real to you. He's who he is. When you're in a tough situation, where you can really believe the unseen God is alive and real, and you can worship him, and you can praise him, and act like he'll do for you what you need. I'm convinced, I've seen this in my own personal life, where things I've never even asked for that God did for me, just because he's good. You just walk and live like he's good. See, we get sometimes too much in the asking side. And we need to come over. Now in Psalms, we go there to Psalm 100. Psalm 100 says this. I want you to, Psalm 100. Now in the King James Version, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now in the New King James, it says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. But I was looking up, I thought, I'm going to look at what that word actually means out of this thing. And you know, that word, figuratively means to make an ear-busting shout. Something, I mean, that would probably irritate people to be around me so loud. Is the idea. It's not talking about, you know, make a noise. You know, the average person, you know, when they worship God and stuff, their noise is like, that's a noise. It isn't talking about noise. It's talking. In other words, it's really talking about people getting very vocal. Very vocal. See, we need to come to that. It's very vocal. And I want to encourage you this, because this isn't just something for a church life. You need to have this in your own personal life. Your own personal life. You're going to have this. It ain't something the church can do for you. The church can't. It's good we can get together and worship some together. But if this is your worship during the week, this would be your worship? Yeah. Man, you ain't even on the ball field. You ain't even in the little league yet. We need to get down to these things, the reality of these things and the truth of them. is because, I don't know about you, I need God to help me. But he said, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Now, what we find in this psalm tells us how we're supposed to come to God. You know, we find that in Scripture in Hebrews tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy. Is that how our approach is? Our approach God, to God based on our need? See, it's your approach is your faith speaking. If you really thought God was going to do something for you, how are you going to come to him? Mm-hmm. How would you approach anybody that thought, I mean, no matter what it is, if you thought somebody, if you knew somebody was going to help you do something and you were, they'd say, hey, you know, I'll, if you were going to do something, I'll help you. Just let me know. When you went to them, what was your expectation? When you go to them, oh, please help me. Oh, please help me. You go with the expectation. Hey, you said you'd help with that. Okay. I'd like you to help. You wouldn't go whining. Many times that's the approach of God. It's, oh my God, I got this problem. We got to get this thing fixed. And, oh God, like, we approach God like he ain't going to help. We approach him. They say to us, how are you? You come with him with singing. Know that the Lord's God. Do you know that the Lord's God? You know, one thing we confess Jesus is Lord. You know that the word Lord isn't part of his name. The Lord is what he is. He's in charge. Mm-hmm. That means he's allowed to govern over you. That's an interesting thought. But we'll go on from there. It says, it is he who's made us and not we ourselves. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture. How? Enter his gates. How? With your problem. Enter his gates with whatever your need might be. Enter his gates. No, God's telling you how to come before him. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. See, come before him like he's going to do something. Come before him in an actual faith. Come before him in faith. See, we can have a lot of things that trouble in our nation and people, bother. They want to see things change, but most people are complaining about the problems. But we really, God's not been magnified. The scale is too far off. We got to get this scale moved. And even our personal things with our lives, it says, be thankful to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is sometimes a pretty nice guy. He might want to help you. You never know. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures for all generation. See, now this, if you believe sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no, you can't use these verses. Because how could you go with any kind of joy and thanksgiving? You don't know what he's going to do. That can't happen. How could you go to God about something and you don't know what his answer is going to be? See, the scripture tells us what he'll do. See, God wants to fix things more than you. It's years ago when I was a young Christian, the Lord said to me, I have more interest in my people being well than they do. And he's exactly right. They have very little interest. They got a lot of religious, a lot of ideas about things and stuff. But with God, many times people, they aren't on the same page with him. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures, what? To all generations. The truth don't quit. It didn't end because we really got smart and got a lot of education and all those things. No, his truth stands forever and it's forever the same. It never changes. The Bible says he's a God who changes not. Well, we go over. So we can see as God was, what he's doing here is doubling up. See, so we got to double up on the worship and praise because he goes right over to the psalm's end. Isn't it interesting? You know, I never thought about these things and the Lord said to me the 50s. And I never thought about this, the first, the 50th, the 100th, and 150th psalm. But then it jumps right over. In other words, the 150th psalm says, praise God in the sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and the flute. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, that there is pretty obvious. Yeah. See, we need to get back over it. Because, see, one of the things of it is, there's people, you know, people are sad and mad and whatever else. People have lost their joy. And I tell you what, you can't keep your joy if you ain't praising and worshiping God. You can't do it. I'm just telling you, I know my own personal life. You can't do it without a praise and worship life. You have to have one. See, you magnify God. We live in a society and even a church where we're magnifying problems. We're magnifying the situations of things. You know, God wants to blow up on the scene, but we're not treating him like he wants to blow up on the scene. We're treating him like we're, intercession has become a thing of like we're trying to convince God to do something. Yeah. And not, he wants to do something. He's waiting for us to come and say, God, I know you want to do something. I know you want to fix this thing. I know it. See, when you go with a whine in your voice, you leave the place of prayer with a whine in your voice. That's not what we do. We should leave that praise, a praise and worship. He's a great God. He will always do what's right.
Thank you, Lord.
This is one thing as I love about my God. I can always count. I'm not always sure about me, but I'm always sure about him. We can always be sure. That's the bottom line of faith. You can always count on him. You can always know. And come to this thing. I mean, bring joy to your own life. Praise and worship him. Bring joy to your own life and to your situation. When things like seems like, you know, that maybe you're not on the bottom of the barrel, the barrel's sitting on you. You know, you might feel like that. You know what? That's really the times to praise God. That's the time when things are falling apart saying, God, I'm just going to stop. I'm going to worship you. I'll tell you, beginning of this year, I've had more things go wrong. I've had more things. If it can go wrong, it'll go wrong. And you know what? I see around with people in our church. I can tell. The devil has been at work and people are acting like it. I can see it. Why? And I can tell you why. I don't have a praise life. I ain't crying about my problems. My God's going to take care of Ed Gibson. I can't take care of myself. I done turned myself over to him. Hallelujah. He will look after me. He's going to prove himself big. That's who my God is. That's who he is. Hallelujah. Even in my stupid, he's merciful. Hallelujah. No matter what, I can count on him. And I want you to get over that fact. You know, I think a lot, you know, we got to get over ourselves. Get over ourselves. He's working for me. He's never against me. If God is for you, who could be against you other than yourself? Most of the time, that's a people problem. They don't realize they are against themselves. Don't be the one who's against you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God wants to bless your life. And he says, oh, just praise me and worship me. Act like it's true. Act like I'm really a God. Act like I can do anything for you. Act like there's nothing in your life I can't fix. Is there anything in this nation that God couldn't fix? If he couldn't, wouldn't that be interesting? The devil can cause more problems than God could ever fix. Well, we have to decide, how big is this God? Are all things possible to him that believe? Is it true? Are these things true? I believe they're true. Hallelujah. We have a wonderful God. And I tell you, don't lose your joy. Don't lose your joy. Your God is big. Hallelujah. And that's what this was all about. He wants you to know he's big. All he wants you to do is act like he's big. That's faith. Acting, God, I can't see you and it don't look like it's anything's working right at all, but it doesn't matter. Hallelujah. You're God and you're looking after me. You're going to work these things out. I ain't got a clue how. I don't need to know how. I only have to believe he can fix it. I don't have to understand how it works. I don't have to understand. They can come up and get 1,000 people, stand in line and say, no, your problem can't fix. Nobody knows nothing about it. It doesn't matter with God. I don't have to know how it can be fixed. There can be no way in the natural it can be done. But if all things are possible to him that believe, then praise God. Then it can be fixed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My mess can be fixed. Glory. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Father, we just want to say today, thank you. You're so good to us and your loving kindness and mercy to us. Father, I do ask you though, forgiveness, and I even myself, Lord, I realize there's times I really lapsed in the areas of praise and worship to you and being just so thankful. Lord God, so many times I don't look back at even the past, the wonderful things you've done for me, and I don't bring them up before you and tell you how thankful I am. Are those things, I don't want to be like Israel and be brought out of a land and forget about all the good things you did to bring them out. And so I thank you today. And Father God, it is so wonderful to get together with brothers and sisters in the Lord. And Father God, because of your love and your mercy and kindness to us, Father, we thank you. We just expect an absolutely wonderful day. And Father, we lift up and pray for Mike and Eileen. We so appreciate them and so appreciate your love and mercy, Lord God, and kindness. Father, they've over all these years of have honored the church, having us come here together and being able to come in fellowship. And Lord God, we just want to bless them. That's what we want to do. Hallelujah. Because Lord, we didn't think up of this blessing thing. You're the one that did. Hallelujah. Because you're the one that wants to bless them even more than we do. Lord God, and I thank you. Father, I thank you that your good work that you started in them, you're bringing it to completion in the name of Jesus Christ. That your hand is working mightily in them, Father God. And Father, I want to thank you, Father. We want to bring joy to this house this day. Hallelujah. We want to bring, Lord God, the victory of our God. Hallelujah, to this place. And so we thank you today. Thank you, Father God, for everyone that's come here. And Lord God, I ask you to bless each one here today in the name of Jesus. Lord God, show your goodness and kindness and mercy. Reveal yourself to them and become real to them, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for all the food that was brought together. And Father, all the hands that prepared the food, we just thank you. But Father, we ask you, as the scripture tells us, Lord God, that you are the God that blesses our bread and water, and you remove sickness from us. And we thank you, Father God, that you're working mightily. Hallelujah. And Father God, we want to let you know, Lord God, we're going to stack some things on the other side of that scale. Hallelujah. We're going to get that scale. Hallelujah. So your glory can be revealed. And all the wonderful things that we desire that we've seen in your word, they will come to pass at last in Jesus' name. Amen.